And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4 from Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Greg and Joseph, that's a big network. Broadcast, what is it? Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. All right, I messed that one up. Greg, yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network.
Absolutely. Before we get to our interview here, Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4, 10 a.m., obviously here locally in Phoenix, but online, breakradioshow.com, and then our Wednesday and Friday show, sportsbreakthrough.com.
You are quite correct. Thank you for that. Lovely.
I don't know what you were getting at, but that was...
It was classic.
Yes.
We'll have classic bloopers.
But hopefully you know our website right now. So,
yeah.
Or both of them.
Breakradioshow.com, sportsbreakthrough.com.
There you go.
And even... Dave at Breakthrough Sports Twitter.
Yes. No, oh. Your Twitter, Dave's Twitter, if anyone cares, is,
what is it?
The at break.
Oh, not
THR Dave. Sports.
It is?
Yes.
You changed it?
No, that's what it's always been.
What's it called?
Break THR Sports. That's all that will fit in there.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
You can't
oh,
make it's not any Dave. Longer.
Oh, yeah, it's at. I changed my name to at.
Yeah.
All right. Joseph Erdo.
Iardo.
Okay.
Well,
oh, who said what?
What?
Oh, you said what? Okay, who's on
Are
first?
You all right?
Yes.
You're the snitch, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the Oscars this Sunday.
Well before that.
Yeah, let's do the
Oh, yeah,
more
I got
Oscar
too excited.
Yeah, you're too excited about the Oscars.
Why is this table raising?
Okay.
We'll talk about the snitch. It opens this weekend.
Yes.
So tomorrow, it stars Dwayne Johnson, right?
The Rock.
Yeah, and you know what? I've got this sweatshirt here. It's with him if you got the webcam.
Yeah, where'd you get that? I liked it.
It was at the screening.
Really? Anyone watching, breakradioshow.com, look
oh, that's
live.
Awesome.
That is good. I want one of those.
It's a very nice sweatshirt.
Wow.
So you have to go
really
to the screening
cool.
for that?
Yeah. Well, you know, we invited the listeners to the screening. You could.
And they could have got a jacket?
There. Yeah, they could have got a jacket.
Oh,
they also had shirts. They had little bottle openers.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So a good time. So, you know, I've already seen the movie, but I can't say what I thought about it. I can't give you any description of my review until next weekend because, of you know, the studios have these little rules that you can't review a movie until after it's already been opened. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I'm just thinking it's good, though. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking that.
It might
Wait,
be. And
I have a big question for
what?
You. Very
what?
Serious.
Yeah.
Greg, this is very serious.
All right.
Look serious. Mm-hmm. When you review movies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you review a movie or sit through a movie without a luscious, delicious popcorn?
It always comes back to the popcorn.
Yeah.
I can.
You can?
I can, but it's always nice to have the popcorn handy because two reasons. One, it gets you in the mood to watch a movie. And two, if the movie gets boring, then you have something to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And the way I look at it, I go, you know, I'm hungry for popcorn. I wonder what movies are out. That's how I do. Not like what movies are out. Oh, should I get popcorn?
Well,
I do it in reverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for a while, I try to maintain weight. I tried to forego the butter.
Popcorn.
Butter. I still
you
have
like
the popcorn.
The butter?
The butter. Yeah, I have to have the butter.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Isn't it like pretend butter?
I think so now it is. Yeah, it used to be better. When I was a kid, it was.
Better or butter?
Well,
you know,
better butter.
It used to be butter, and it used to be better.
At Harkins, and we should charge them for this. But
yeah,
they used to have the you know how they have the seasoning you can put on. They used to have the Parmesan seasoning.
Oh yeah,
they don't have it anymore.
Well, they switch it out for something.
Well, they just they have like ranch, the
nacho cheese. I think they have
something like that. Nacho cheese, and I think another cheesy one, and then a fourth one, but. They don't have the Parmesan one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so mad. I threw my popcorn.
And you went to AMC.
Then I went back to Harkins again. But no,
Olive Garden has it.
I would say that was good. But you know what I'll say is that popcorn is addicting, but the people at the theater do get mad at Dave because he keeps them busy because half his popcorn is on the ground. He takes a handful and half gets in his mouth.
You're one of those. You know, one time I was so far off from my mouth, it was my neighbor's mouth.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the person.
Yeah.
They thanked me.
Yeah.
Had three dates out of that one.
I think we better move on from there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no.
So.
Exciting.
All right.
Exciting
what
stuff.
Are we doing? Oh,
all
Snitch.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Snitch. So this opens this opens tomorrow. We will have our review of it next week. But without saying what I thought of it, I think you should check it out, okay? That's as much as I can say.
Okay.
I think you should check it out.
Well, I like
The
Rock.
If you want to read into that, you can.
I do like The Rock. You too, Greg?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good.
But this was written and directed by Rick Romanois, and he was a stuntman. His credits include Hook. Remember Hook?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. Total Recall, the mm-hmm. original Total
Arnold.
Recall. And Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage.
Yes, mm-hmm. got all the actors there. And, you know, his father was, yeah, excellent. You're on a winning streak here. And his father was a stuntman, too. But, you know, he made this movie called Felon. A couple years ago with Val Kilmer and Stephen Dorff, and excellent film about a man who basically, you know, what would you do if you were thrown in prison and, you know, maybe wrongfully accused, that kind of thing, behind bars thriller. And in this, Dwayne Johnson plays a father whose teenage son is wrongly accused of a drug distribution crime and is looking at a mandatory minimum prison sentence of 10 years. Desperate and determined to rescue his son at all costs, he makes a deal with the U.S. attorney, played by Susan Sarandon, to work as an undercover informant and infiltrate a drug cartel on a dangerous mission. So, again, I got a chance to talk with him a little while back, and very interesting guy, seems very, very passionate. Thing with this movie, it was based on a Frontline episode, that PBS show Frontline. It was an episode about snitches, and a true story. So here, and I'm going to kind of let him describe the movie to you in this clip, and his inspiration for the film and in the story.
What really grabbed me about this story was it was about fathers and sons. It was about, you know, I'm a father of 5-year-old twins, and we had that adage of being parents, saying, you know, if my kids were in jeopardy, I would move heaven and earth for them. You know, I would kill everybody in my path if it meant protecting my kids. Well, this was a chance to really see a real true story of how far would you go down that rabbit hole. Snitch is about a father's whose son, his 18-year-old son, was wrongfully accused for dealing ecstasy. And he got caught under these mandatory minimum laws that are federal laws, and you get 10 years in prison, mandatory. And they were designed to ensnare high-level drug traffickers because the only way you can reduce your sentence is if you snitch on other drug traffickers. Well, the kid didn't know anybody. He didn't know any other drug traffickers, and he was set up from his own friend. So the father went to the U.S. attorney and said, what if I go in the drug world and get you a bigger bust? And by the way, in true story, the U.S. attorney signed off on it, and this father did go into the drug world. And it was a very difficult journey, but, you know, once you become a commodity to them, then you become pulled into that rabbit hole further and further and further. And to me, that's what resonated, that chance of sitting in the theater and watching these characters, and yet you can't stop thinking of yourself of, would I do this? How far would I take it to make sure that I can, you know, that I can keep and protect my own kids?
Yeah, that is amazing. And that it's based on
the
story.
It's a true story. And that's really how, you know, they let this father infiltrate the drug cartel.
Oh, I want to see it before it comes out.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to see the frontline episode that this was based on. But after having seen the movie, I really wanted to, I want to see the true story that this is based on. Because it's,
well,
I can't believe that
incredible premise.
I can't believe that they let this guy do this, mm-hmm. you know, and that they encourage this kind of behavior, that they encourage snitching on someone just to reduce your sentence, and then a 10-year mandatory minimum for a kid. I mean, I don't know if the kid, you know, 17 or 18 years
and
old.
Falsely accused.
Well, in the movie, I don't know the true story, but in the movie, he just wanted to try some drugs.
So
he had the drugs delivered to him, but, you know, it was the amount of drugs that he could sell. He didn't want to sell it, but he was doing it for a friend.
Oh,
and so
I
he
see.
Just, you know, he accepted it so that he could try a little bit. And
I think that's one of the arguments. I'm not saying I agree with it. Colorado and Washington, why they passed the law. I think. And I don't know. I haven't really followed it. But I think that's one reason some of these laws passed, because they thought it was unfair on, you know, to send people to prison that long.
It's a social injustice.
Wow, that's very Amazing. This is an amazing story.
Yeah, and you know, and last week we interviewed David Riker for The Girl.
Excellent.
It was a very moral story there, you know.
You
know, kind of like you had to look on both sides of the fence. And so I asked him, Rick Romanois about Snitch, about what his message for the movie was, and here's what he said about his message.
You know, it's all about that social action, about those thought-provoking messages that we can get across to change things. Well, on one side of that, there is the mandatory minimums, and I think that our judicial system has gotten completely out of whack when people are serving longer sentences for drugs than child molesters. We have something wrong with our system. I mean, we have to take a good look at that. But at its core, it shows that not only in the drug world and the peer pressure and the things that have happened with these kids, but as parents, that all racial lines are crushed. Any ethnicity is crushed, any demographic, any social class, where you come from or who you are, we're all struggling to do the same thing, which is to protect our own kids. Also, I think that what the thematic thread of Snitch for me is, and I know that I'm facing it as a father, is the balance that we have to have between personal attention and personal success. Personal success is very important nowadays. I mean, how far you're going to take your career, you know, your work, because it puts food on the table. It betters your kids' lives. You have a chance to take them, to get them to college. Put them in the night time. Do we have for the personal attention that's so important? And so it becomes about, you know, can we have that eye on our kids and be close to them, so we know that we can keep them out of harm's way while we're also trying to put food on the table, and that delicate balance that we all play as parents.
It's a tough balance,
absolutely,
right?
Wow. And I agree with him on that. How he was mentioning, you know, the drug issue, and I think they've kind of mentioned it a little too. Mm-hmm. How you see, you know, as he said, child molesters, you know, people like that, maybe even cases of murderers sometimes,
yeah,
you see serve less time than people involved with drugs.
That is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes no sense, especially, you know, in some cases, you know, someone might have a little marijuana versus someone that does something just terrible, you know,
yeah,
hurts someone physically or child molestation or whatnot, and for some reason, the dude that has a little marijuana may get as much time or if not more in jail for something that, you know, I don't want to say good or bad, but mm-hmm, but really isn't that bad.
Right.
It's not going to cause you to
hurt
anyone.
You're saying, relatively speaking,
right,
taking
absolutely
someone's life.
It's a nonviolent crime.
Right, there you go.
It's a hands-off nonviolent mm-hmm crime. And it's a social injustice. Mm-hmm. It makes you very mad at the system. It makes you mad at watching this movie. It makes you mad at the federal government and the DEA and you know all this
things
you know,
that
US
have
attorney
to be updated. I think. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It is,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's how you could say it. Social injustice. There's some things out of balance. Perhaps is the way to look at it.
Now, on a lighter note, you mentioned Dwayne Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're formerly known as The Rock.
Yeah.
But you know, a great actor. Been in some strange movies. That one where he played the babysitter and stuff like that.
Well, The Witch Mountain, which
that one as well.
Our friend was in there who called earlier.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes,
he was.
John Cassier was a voice in that. So, but I asked him what it was like to work with Dwayne Johnson and why he chose this actor to play this part. And here's what he said.
When we set up to start casting this movie, you know, for me, there was a lot of the usual suspects. And we were talking about a number of different things. And when I came onto this project, I said, well, why don't we just stand the genre on its head and put the most formidable guy on the planet in the movie and show that it won't matter how big you are. Because if you're going to go into a very authentic world like this and you're going to play it for real, and these are real world rules, it's going to be about how much heart you have. And, you know, and Dwayne has the heart of a lion. Because when bullets hit you in the head, you die. This is not action hero time. This is a man of action. This is an everyday man of action. I think that the one thing that I really got from Dwayne, and when I got to know him, I completely understood why he is such a megastar. Not only coming from winning a national championship in football, and then taking that tool chest of knowledge and transferring it into wrestling, and why he became such a massive wrestling sensation, is he wasn't playing a character as much. He was being himself. He was always real. He was always honest. He was always sincere. And he's a man of, you know, of high moral. And he took that war chest and then transferred over into movies. And that's why he can transgress so many different genres, because he's always playing it from a real point of view. And that's what we wanted with this character. We didn't want any, you know, kind of fictitious action hero moments. Let's just say Dwayne Johnson was 120 pounds and 5 feet tall. He would have to go through the exact same things. It would be not about physicality. It would be about the heart. how much heart, how much wit, and how much you're willing to bend your own morality to save your kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it sounds like a good actor to play
yes.
that role then, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It sounds like a... obviously being based off a true story and a more mm-hmm. serious version of a kind of a film franchise we were talking about earlier in Taken, where you kind of saw how Liam Neeson would do anything. Now, that obviously, mm-hmm. obviously serious movie, but this is real serious
right.
because it's based off a true story and, you know, some differences. But
wow.
just from hearing that, I wanted to see this movie anyways. Mm-hmm. But just from hearing that, yeah, this sounds
and
like
I haven't
it could
even
be,
given my review yet.
Right, absolutely.
Is it out this weekend? Yeah.
It opens,
yeah,
yes, tomorrow. It opens tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing, and it's on this this sweatshirt here, that, mm-hmm. but on the poster and in the trailer, the thing that stands out is this semi scene that, you know, this semi rolls over and that Dwayne Johnson is driving. Now, it's a pretty big action scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like. So, you know, but this is kind of a low budget film. Not a low budget, but lower than, you know, this isn't the Avengers.
Or the
right?
Titanic.
Or, yeah. So this is a lower budget movie. So, you know, how does he accomplish that? And as an independent filmmaker, kind of. So I asked him about that semi scene, and here's what he said.
I guess it'd be much easier just to be a proverbial sellout and not worry about the being passionate about the stories that I want to tell and just going for the big action fair, straightforward action where you get the big budgets and you get to blow crap up and you have all the time in the world. But, you know, I am much more attracted to things that I'm extremely passionate about, stories that have moral ambiguity to them, by putting characters into a vice where it's not going to be easy for them to get out of, you know, and there's going to be decisions that are going to be made that aren't black and white. So when I, you know, with that said, so you get a smaller budget, you know, but I'd rather roll up my sleeves and figure a more interesting way to do things and be passionate about the story I'm telling. So, you know, when I wrote this semi-sequence, you know, everybody read the script and they're like, how are we going to pull this off? And I was like, because we're going to take the audience along for the ride. Let's put you in the driver's seat. Let's put you within the character's point of view so you're sensing it. And that's what we did with this semi-chase. We did it in a way where Dwayne Johnson was never doubled in the semi-chase. He's behind the wheel. And the cameras are with him inside the trucks. They're inside the cars that are chasing him. They're in the civilian cars, where you're watching a sequence where you're actually witnessing it firsthand. That's what I wanted the semi-chase to feel like, that you were on the freeway with these guys, you were in these characters' points of view, and you were feeling the jeopardy they were feeling versus just watching mayhem. You were a part of the mayhem.
Yeah, so you know, maybe you want to go check it out this weekend. Again, I can't say what I thought about it, but I'm kind of suggesting you might check it out.
Wow, very, very good. It's a good premise, no question about it, and...
Yeah.
On many different levels.
Oh, yeah.
Whether, you know, are the federal laws updated, or, you know, compared to other, like we talked about, other crimes that seem that could be much more serious. And maybe a statement about, like you said, how far would a dad go to save the son?
Yeah. So
good plots.
So we'll review it next Thursday.
Wow. Maybe we'll all see it and we can triple review.
That
Absolutely.
Would be awesome.
Wow, yeah. I like it already. Very good.
So now the Oscars. You want to talk about the Oscars, right?
Yes. It's this Sunday, right?
Yeah, this Sunday, 7 Eastern, 4, for Pacific. And so that's 5 o'clock our time, right?
Yes.
Of course, the red carpet probably takes place before that.
Oh, yeah.
Another hour.
I want to go there someday. You think I could?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
This is Dave interviewing.
Let's go right now.
Kara Knightley.
Oh. Kara Knightley.
Isn't that
Who's
her name?
Who's that?
Yeah, I thought it was Kara.
All right, well, we have a nickname for her when you know her as well as I do.
Yeah.
It's Kara to me, Kara to you.
Wow.
All right, back to Joseph Erdo.
Well, first of all, who's hosting, Greg?
Well, I think we have one of my favorites, Mr. Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know why I said I think, because obviously
yeah,
I know.
I'm going to vote for Billy Crystal. Who's right?
No, it's Seth MacFarlane.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just threw Billy Crystal in.
Yeah, and you got me there. But
okay.
Well,
I had Billy.
But I really thought you didn't know. So.
No, I know. All right, back to Joseph.
Well, do you want to do some should win, will win action?
Yeah, let's do that.
You guys have seen some of these. So
I have. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's save Best Picture for last. So let's do some of the other... categories. Let's do best animated feature film.
Okay.
Now, these were Brave, Frankenweenie, Paranorman, The Pirates Band of Misfits, and Wreck-It Ralph. Did you see any of those?
No, but I'm voting for Frankenweenie.
Okay.
Because you love it.
Yeah, you know
and
that
I trust
love it.
You.
That, yeah. What
Greg?
Do you think, Greg?
I didn't see any, but I think between Frankenweenie and Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, that was out. Yeah.
But I'll say Frankenweenie, though. I bet that will end up on top. Mm.
Well, I think that Wreck-It Ralph has a chance.
Yeah.
And I believe that Pixar with Brave, I think that they have the best chance. Even though it wasn't that good of a movie.
Yeah.
You know, you can't beat Pixar in the mind of the Academy. And so that's who I think will win. I definitely, as you said, Dave, Frankenweenie.
You said it was great.
It's one of my favorite movies of the year. So, of course, it would be best animated feature film.
Exciting. Maybe
in my mind. Yeah. So let's go on to let's do the song. Those are always fun because I know that Adele is going to be singing at the awards ceremony this year, and also I believe that some of the other people who are nominated. Who else? Walter Murphy for Ted. Everybody Needs a Friend, and of course with Skyfall, it's Adele Skyfall from Skyfall. And Before My Time from Chasing Ice, which is, I believe, a documentary. Mm. And Pi's Lullaby from Life of Pi. And Suddenly from Les Miserables.
I'm going to say Life of Pi.
Life of Pi is what you think?
Greg?
I'd say the Adele from the James Bond movie.
I think that Adele definitely has the best chance. Mm-hmm. She's the first one, you know, because last year they didn't even do a song.
Right.
They announced the song, but they didn't, you know.
Have anyone actually sing it.
Yeah, and this year, right away, they said, oh, yeah, we're going to have Adele there. Mm-hmm. So I think, that's where the mind of the Academy is. And I think that would work. You know, I like that.
All right, so one for Life of Pi, two for Adele.
Yes, very good. Keep track of these so we can see who.
Yeah, I'm writing them down.
Very good. And let's do the two writing categories.
Best
writing,
screenwriter?
Adapted screenplay and original screenplay. For adapted screenplay, the nominees are Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Silver Linings Playbook. What do you think?
What's the difference between adaptive and original?
Adapted is based on another material, like a book, or it's a remake, or, you know.
Okay, give me the five again.
The five are Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Silver Linings Playbook.
Certainly not Lincoln. All right. Wow. I saw several of those.
Yeah.
Life of Pi.
Life of Pi?
Yes, I'm going for it. How
about
you,
Greg?
Guys?
I didn't see any of them.
Oh
shame on you.
If I were to pick, though, because of, you know,
discussions
through previews, your discussions, you know, Silver Linings Playbook is the type of movie I think I would like out of those ones, and maybe Argo. But the thing is, though, is I have a feeling. And
Life of Pi.
No, I have a feeling Lincoln will end up winning. Not saying we'll agree with it, but I just get that sense.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, Lincoln possible. I'm kind of thinking that Silver Linings Playbook will win because, you know, the Academy loves David O. Russell with The Fighter. And, you know, so I think that is what will win. If I had to pick personally, I wish it would be Life of Pi. So we'll
yeah,
see.
That's what I'm thinking. But okay, so we all disagree on that one. Yeah.
Original screenplay. Amour, the French film we reviewed a few weeks ago. Django Unchained. I know you saw that one, Dave. Flight, Moonrise Kingdom. Speaking of Bill Murray, and Zero Dark Thirty.
The what's it called? The Django.
Django is what you think? Yeah.
No doubt.
What about you, Greg?
I didn't see any of them, but I'm going to agree with him, though, on Django.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just from everything I've heard about it.
And I think that Django has a chance, but I'm going to both my will win and should win is going to go to Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, Bill Murray.
Yes. So, you know, that was a great film. I never liked Wes Anderson, except for maybe Rushmore, but this one I did like. So I'm going to give my should win and will win to that one.
Wow, nice.
So now let's move on to, let's do one of the bigger categories, director, okay?
Whoa.
Yeah. Amour, again, Michael Haneke is who directed that. Beasts of the Southern Wild, directed by Ben Zeitlin. Ang Lee for Life of Pi. Lincoln, Steven Spielberg. And David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook.
Well, who I want to win, is Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
What will probably win is Lincoln.
All right. All right.
So what do I say? Who I want or who will probably will?
What are you marking down for me? Are you marking down my wills or my shoulds?
Your wills.
Well, then mark down your will, then.
Oh.
This is more of a prediction, not necessarily
prediction.
What we think.
All right, fine,
yeah.
Lincoln.
Because if it was a personal choice, you know, I would probably like a zero for me.
Because should I would want to say Silver Linings. Yeah. I get the sense, yeah, Lincoln.
Darn.
Well, you know, my will is Silver Linings Playbook, David O. Russell. I think that they'll give it to him. You know, Steven Spielberg, I mean, when's the last time he's actually won an Academy Award? I mean, I don't know if they really... I think they maybe like the movie, but I don't know if they will stand behind Steven Spielberg.
Wow.
Maybe they will. My should, though, would, you know, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, my second favorite movie of last year. Yeah. So now let's move on to, let's save the actors here for a second. Let's do the actors so we don't run out of time here. The you want to do actor in a supporting role, okay?
Yes, Bradley Cooper.
he is not nominated. An actor in a supporting role. That would
he
be
was.
Leading role. That was that's.
Oh, he's
role.
A leading role.
Yeah. So actor in a supporting role: Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln, and Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained. I know that's a tough choice for you, isn't it, Dave?
I'll tell you who are the two I would vote for.
I think you're stuck between Robert De Niro and Christoph Waltz.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Both phenomenal. And, this is tough. No, really, this is tough.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
I'm going for... Christopher Waltz.
Christoph.
Oh, that one.
I think he's going to win it, too. I think he's really putting his name out there, and he's done
phenomenal.
We all agree, and it's also my should as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, should and will win Christoph Waltz. And let's do actress in a supporting role. Amy Adams for The Master.
Yes.
Sally Field for Lincoln. Anne Hathaway for Les Miserables. Helen Hunt for The Sessions. And Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook.
Which one was she?
She was the mother. The mother, yeah.
I'm going to go. I'll tell you, the only thing I liked about Lincoln was Sally Field. I thought she was good. I'm going for her.
All right. What about
you, Greg?
I don't know.
Probably 61. Anne Hathaway.
Really?
Anne Hathaway.
Les Mis?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that I agree there that she will win Anne Hathaway. My problem, why she's not my should, I think she did a great job. But she's in the movie for a very short amount of time. She's only in the beginning and then briefly at the end.
Oh.
Helen Hunt gets my should for The Sessions. She's stripped down for the role, both emotionally and physically.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, it's a great movie. The Sessions is a great movie. Again, so is...
I'm switching my vote.
Convinced you there, huh?
So you want... you're saying Anne Hathaway then,
Will? You wanted Sally Field to strip down for Lincoln?
No.
No, I'm
saying... Anne Hathaway. No. I've now confused.
But a different movie. my will is Anne Hathaway for Les Mis.
Oh, so you're going to vote. Okay, so you and Greg. Wow, this is a nice competition here.
Yeah, let's do the best actor in a leading role. You already said
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Well, who's the nominees?
Silver Linings Playbook, Bradley Cooper. Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables, not for movie 43, for Les Miserables. Joaquin Phoenix for The Master, and Denzel Washington for Flight. What do you think?
I didn't see a lot of them, but I'm going Bradley Cooper. I think he really did a very, very nice job, quite honestly.
Okay.
And I'm sort of a big fan anyway. Okay.
Oh, man. Well, the money's probably on Daniel Day-Lewis, but you know what? I think there's going to be an upset here.
Oh, yeah?
I agree.
Okay.
I think Bradley Cooper is going to get it.
Okay.
Very good.
And I don't think there's going to be an upset. Unfortunately, because the universe hates me and people want to throw milk duds at my head, I think it's going to be Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln.
Yeah.
But my should is Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables. I mean, the guy's a Broadway star. If you can't give it to him for this, then, you know.
Yeah,
but
I hear you.
I wouldn't mind if they gave it to Bradley Cooper either. So,
very good, I thought. Very good. Okay, next. Best actor. I mean, best...
best actress in a leading role. Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty. Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook. Emmanuel Arriva for Amour. She is the oldest actress nominated, or one of them, or something like that, of all time. I don't know how to pronounce the name. Quenzeline Wallace.
Like me.
Yeah, well, this is Quenzeline Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild, little girl, one of the youngest actresses ever nominated. And Naomi Watts for The Impossible. What do you think?
Well, I haven't seen a lot of them, but I'm going Jennifer Lawrence just because I'm going Jennifer Lawrence.
I bet that you are too, Greg, huh? Or am I wrong?
She was very good.
Well, the truth is I haven't seen any of them, but so I'll just go
Jennifer Lawrence.
Man, that is tough, though, because I know that everyone gave good performances from what I've heard. And especially, you know, I know Chastain and Naomi Watts' as movies we've talked about recently.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, I will go Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, it worked.
Don't tell Kristen Stewart.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
If only because of her terrible speech at the at the Golden Globes, I am not going to go for her. But I think that Jessica Chastain will win for Zero Dark Thirty.
That was pretty good.
I wish that Naomi Watts would win for The Impossible. Again, one of my favorite movies of the year. I thought she did a spectacular job with literally her meat falling off of her bones as it's scraping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was a great movie. So I'm hoping that it's her, but probably Jessica Chastain. So you want to do the big one, best picture, okay?
Oh, who do we got?
We need the real sound effects here. Jeez. All right, Amour, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty.
That's a lot of movies. I thought they only picked five.
No, they expanded it.
Okay.
Now they can choose up to 10 or something.
Well, okay. So I'm going Argo.
Argo?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think, Greg?
Now this is a tough one. It's going to be Lincoln. I just think it.
Well,
I'm
being a rebel here. I know it's going to be Lincoln. I'm going Argo.
Well, you know, and I'm thinking it might be Lincoln, but I'm hoping that maybe the universe doesn't hate me that much, so I'm going to say Argo as well.
Yes.
Argo. Yeah. You know, of course, I wish that it was Life of Pi. I so wish that it was Life of Pi, but I don't think it really has a chance.
And Silver Linings Playbook is not that type of Best Picture movie. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Sort of like Sideways. That's why that didn't win. But I would have voted for it, and that's my final comment.
Would you have voted for that over Django?
Silver Linings Playbook?
Yeah.
No, Django's also nominated.
Yeah.
No, I think Argo and then Django. And we're out of time. Wow, can you believe this?
You didn't get the question, so I'll ask you to get off the air.
Okay. No, I would vote for Argo.
No, I meant the Django or Silver Linings between those two.
Del Django.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. I like that movie a lot. Wow. Joseph Erdo.
Hi, Erdo.
How do they get in touch with you? We only got a few seconds.
Examiner.com, BreakRadioShow.com, and also AZ Weekly Entertainment Magazine. I want to thank John Cassier so much.
Yes.
And also Rick Roman Waugh. Go see Snitch. Go see Jack the Giant Slayer.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Greg Isaac, see you tomorrow. Breakthrough Sports. A lot of action. More hockey. Everyone, have a great night.